Ramsey TV.
People wonder how I am so healthy. I'm happy to tell you about that today. I just fortify myself with white blood cells. Yes, well, how do I do that? I expose myself to various germs and bacteria. I build up my immune system by not protecting myself generally from all sorts of little buggy-wuggies and boogie-woogies. And so, yeah, well, that's how you do it. That's how you gain immunity. For instance, there's a homeless guy. I come to know him, and I see him at the beginning of my run there on the corner of 17th Street and Federal Highway, and every once in a while, I'll shake his hand. Yeah. I mean, probably not many people want to shake the hand of a homeless person. I am aware that the hand has potentially been in some unseemly, unsavory places, but I'll have you know that I do wash my hand in mud puddles. Yes, after I shake the hand of the homeless person, I look for a, because I know I should probably wash it, but there's nothing around, so, you know, not for another mile or so. So if I see a puddle, I just rinse my hand in the puddle, and I'm good to go. This is Martin Zender, good to go here for you once again. Now, somebody asked a great question on the heels of my video, Rodney Paris, and my video of Sunday on the Sin series. My prescription for dealing with sin is Paul's prescription for dealing with sin. Put it to death, i.e. ignore it. If you don't understand what Paul means when he says crucify the flesh together with its passions and lusts, it's not what you think it is. I promise you, it's not what you think it is. Paul doesn't say attack passions and lusts. He doesn't say strangle them. He doesn't say choke them. He doesn't say shoot them. He says crucify them. It's very important that Paul says that particular thing. If you don't realize why he says it, if you don't know what great truth this opens up, you need to watch the Sin Series Part 4, How to Walk Worthily Without Worrying. Once again, I will put the link down here. It's 51 minutes, the best 51 minutes you'll ever spend, especially if you think you have to get busy crucify my passions and lusts. I thought the old humanity was crucified with Christ. Yes, absolutely true. And it's not a frontal attack. You don't frontally attack your passions and lusts. In fact, I once wrote a booklet way back when, probably 94, 95. It was an early version of How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. The title of the book was Want to Get Rid of All Your Passions and Lusts? And then in parentheses under that title, it said, Me Neither. So, I mean, aren't you passionate to drink your coffee in the morning? That's a passion. Lust is desire. Do you desire to lay your head down on that pillow at night? Okay, then some of your passions and lusts you don't want to get rid of. But the ones that are unseemly, unsavory, there's only one way to do it. Ignore the problem. Ignore the problem. Sound crazy? It's not. It's scriptural. So, but the question that was asked, my remedy for all this worrying and tending to the flesh is to tend to Christ. Keep your eye single on Christ. Matthew 5:22, if your eye is single, your entire body will be luminous. And the question was posed, well, how do we do that? It sounds kind of vague, Martin. Just tend to Christ. What do you mean, tend to Christ? He hasn't shown up lately. He's not around. How do I do that? That was a great question. So I've come up with 5 specific things that you can do. Martin Sanders saying we have to work for our salvation, that we have to do something. No. This is like almost like anti-do. What you have to do is focus on Christ and not do. He's talking double talk down here. No, I'm not talking double talk. It is almost like a reverse do, but you have to concentrate. You have to expend a great deal of effort to stay in the grace of God, because it's so easy to slip into battling your flesh. Now, you've never heard anything like this before, especially not in church. it would be a big fight to battle your flesh. But it's a bigger fight to fight the battle against battling your flesh. Satan wants you engaged in life and death warfare with yourself, because then you're obviously not reveling in the grace of God. You're not being thankful. Oh, here comes my five tips. You're not reveling in the expectation of God. You're not boasting in the cross. You're boasting in your flesh. You're not perceiving the expectation and the glory of God. You're not rejoicing in what God has done for you, and you're not being thankful. You're not giving thanksgiving. You need to give thanksgiving. There's something you can do. I'm going to get to that. Be thankful. See, none of the things I'm recommending that you do in order to tend to Christ have to do with the classic things in Christianity that you have to do. And so let's go through the list. Romans 8:24. Watch out. I might have to wear my glasses. Yes, I think I will. I say watch out because I'm look devastatingly smart with these glasses. I should have cleaned them ahead of time. Let's go to, while I'm cleaning my glasses, you can go to Romans 8:24. I was surprised that this came up everywhere. I mean, almost every letter Paul writes, you see this. And it's kind of a shock. I didn't know it was in the scriptures so many times. Romans 8, let's start with verse 22. For we are aware that the entire creation is groaning and travailing together until now. Yet not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves also are groaning in ourselves. No, groaning is not one of the things I recommend you do. I mean, you're doing it anyway. It's a default setting. You wake up groaning. You go to bed groaning. And so that's all creation is, in fact, groaning. So that's just preloaded into the human condition. So I'm not telling you to do it. You don't have to be told. For we are aware, and the entire creation is groaning and travailing together until now. Same with travailing. Yet not only so, but we ourselves also have the first fruit of the Spirit. We ourselves are also groaning. See, I told you. In ourselves, awaiting the sonship, the deliverance of our body. Here it comes. For to expectation were we saved. Now, expectation being observed is not expectation. For what anyone is observing, why is he expecting it also? Self-evident. Now, if we are expecting what we are not observing, we are awaiting it with endurance. So I want you to wait and expect. See, that has nothing to do with reforming your flesh. You're expecting God to do something. To do what? We're going to find out. You're expecting, you're waiting for God to do what he has promised to do. Well, I'll just name some things off the top of my head. Snatch us away. Glorify us. Seat us at the right hand of God. We're expecting that. That's something you can do. Because you're going to have lots of time on your hands now, not worrying about anything, not worrying about your flesh. So what do? Expect God to deliver. No, it's an active thing. It's an active thing. Along that line, let's go to Ephesians. No, I want to stay in Romans. This is a mind blower. Where has this verse been? Romans 5:2. Are you ready for this? This is what you can do instead of beating yourself up for your shortcomings. Not that you have any. Don't mean to. I don't mean to assume anything. I'm sorry. Romans 5:2. Let's start with verse 1. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God. Actually, that's part of this. What are we supposed to do? Have peace. Expect God to deliver on his promises and have peace toward God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace and in which we stand. There's another thing you can do. I didn't really see that one. There's so many things sewn into this one passage. Stand in grace. Don't let anybody take away the grace. This is why I come after any videos that come out by those in the body of Christ. Those are the ones I'm concerned about that take away our standing in grace, take our eyes off of our expectation, take our eyes off the grace of God and direct them inward, direct them toward manipulating the flesh in an attempt to outperform other people or impress God. No, that is not standing in grace. So I want you to, by faith, stand in this grace. And here's the thing I was noting, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. There's the expectation again, glorying in expectation of the glory of God. This, I think, includes two things. It includes God sending Christ in glory. We see the glory of God through Christ in his manifestation when he finally manifests himself. Can you believe this? We are going to see Jesus Christ. Whoa. We are going to see Jesus Christ. And it is he who displays the glory of God. So when we expect the glory of God to me, that's the same as saying, expect the manifestation of Christ. For when Christ is manifest, you will see the glory of God. Aren't these great things to be thinking on? Well, there's another thing we're supposed to do. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are... I should go through that whole list. I'm thinking a bunch of stuff now. I need to make a separate show on all those things. Whatsoever things are pure. There's really nothing down here on earth that's pure. You fighting your dark inclinations, that's not a pure activity. That's a bloodbath. It's not pure. Well, now make myself pure. Then I can focus on myself. That's ridiculous. I hope you know. So, yeah, Romans 5:2, write that one down. Glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Now I want to go to Ephesians 1:12. It's hard to know where to start this. I'm going to go up to verse 9. In accord with his delight, which he purposed in him, this is talking about us, to have an administration of the complement of the heirs, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, in him, in whom our lot was cast also. I'm building up to it. Being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we, here we go, this is that we should be for the Lord of his glory, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. There you go, expectation again, pre-expectant. It's almost like you're supposed to be looking out the window, expecting the manifestation of the glory of God in Christ and your own glorification. That's the other aspect. Maybe I didn't mention that. Not only looking for the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, but our glory as well. We are pre-expectant. What does that mean? It's like we have a prior expectation before Israel. Israel has an expectation, Christ returning to the Mount of Olives. Our expectation is a pre-expectation. We are pre-expectant. The train's arriving early for us. Jesus Christ is not going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives or anywhere. We're going to meet him in the air. So we're to expect that. Now, we're to be boasting. That's what we're to be doing, boasting. That's right. I'm telling you that one of the aspects, one of the ways to tend to Christ is to boast. I better give you the context pretty quick here, and it is Galatians 6:14. Let's go to verse 13. For not even they who are circumcising are maintaining law, but they want you to be circumcised, that they should be boasting in that flesh of yours. Now, may it not be mine to be boasting except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boasting in the cross. How many times have you heard me say the salvation that was won for all by Christ on the cross? Christ on the cross, the victory, the work Christ did on the cross. I mean, the cross is, it's so strange to boast in the cross because it was such a terrible event. It was such a humiliating, horrifying event. Yet, of course, we boast in those things that were accomplished. Our boast is in the cross. But you see, if you're monitoring your flesh and trying to correct it and focusing on it, and let's say you conquer it. Let's say one day, you conquer it. You'd be boasting in that. You'd feel pretty good about that. Well, it's great when we overcome things. It's great when we get over bad habits, things we don't want to do. We improve the quality of our love for one another and for the world, for our enemies even. I love it. Loving your enemies, that's a good one. That's a good thing you can do too. But love is a fruit of the Spirit. And a fruit of the Spirit, again, is on autopilot if the Spirit of God makes its home in you. So, like my analogy of going into the ship. Remember my analogy, standing on the shore of the English Channel in England, needing to get to France. Swimmers preparing for the treacherous voyage. And the ship pulls up, and I go in the ship. Because, why? Jesus Christ is at the door beckoning me in. And I go there, we read the word together, we talk about the expectation, and we boast in the cross of Christ. And while I'm in there, just having a good time, drinking coffee, eating M&Ms, that's right, the Lord serves me M&Ms, read all about it in How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. We're going toward the shore the whole time. That's why I said that our walk is on autopilot as we tend to Christ. And now I'm giving you specifics of how to tend to Christ. Expect glory. Expect what he says he's going to do, like send his son down to snatch us away. And boast in the cross of Christ, not in yourself, in the cross. Ephesians 1:18, this is a good one. Paul says in his prayers, he wants the God of our Lord, I'm in verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization, there it is, the realization of him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive. So the two verbs I want here are realize and perceive. For you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. There it is. I told you. Sneaking in there everywhere. I'm not even looking for it. I'm done with expectation. I'm looking for something different. And I see that everywhere I go. I'm looking at, this is good. Realization, perception. But here it is again. Paul's praying for them to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. Apparently, God really wants us to know what he has in store for us. It's like looking forward to Christmas. That's what it is. When you were a kid, you looked forward to Christmas starting on December 26th. You looked forward to Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. You were doing something, weren't you? See, some people don't count that as doing something. But I'm reading over and over again that expecting God to perform and fulfill his promises is doing something. So perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches, this is part of it, the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment. We're supposed to concentrate in enjoying. Where do you ever hear this in church? Concentrate on enjoying the expectation and enjoying the allotment among the saints and the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing. Well, Martin says right there, believing. How come that's not on your list? Because we're already believers. God gave us belief. And so that's, I'm kind of assuming that. You don't have to tell yourself every day to believe, believe, believe. Once you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One more passage, Philippians 4:4-6. And you know what this is, don't you? You don't? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, Ephesians 4, starting with verse 4. Be rejoicing in the Lord always. There it is. Peace, grace, rejoicing, expecting. Be rejoicing in the Lord always. And this doesn't mean going Pentecostal. This doesn't mean raising your hand, praise the Lord. It just means this inner happiness. No, I won't call it happiness. That's overrated. This inner joy. I see joy in the word rejoicing. Am I right? Is that in there? Is that one of the roots? Be rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I will declare, be rejoicing. Let your lenience be known to all humans. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. There is a thing you can do. What can I do? I want to do something for Christ. Oh, I got something you can do. Oh, good. Don't worry about anything. Wait a minute. Isn't that something I don't do? Don't worry about anything? Yes. But in another sense, it's so hard not to worry about everything that you have to really work hard at not worrying. So it is something that you do. What are you doing? I'm not worrying. What are you doing? You're sitting there. I'm not worrying. That's what I'm doing. Why aren't you running around? Why aren't you frantic? I'm not worrying. I work on not worrying every day. It's quite an accomplishment. It's a boast of mine. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. There it is. He goes on to say, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that is superior to every frame of mind shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. Don't want to concentrate on that part now. I want to concentrate on thanksgiving. In everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God loves nothing else, nothing more, really, than thanks for what he's done. That's what you can do. That's an active thing. Give thanks for all things. God loves it. It's music to his ears. You like Christmas songs? You like country western music? You like rock and roll? You like the Beatles like I do? God loves to put his hand to his ear and hear the wonderful sound of people thanking him for his indescribable grace.